Well, here we are on the day of Pentecost, and as I was looking at it, the first thing that came to my mind is we do this every year. And I thought, well, of course we do this every year. We do June 9th every year. We do lots of things every year. What made that pop into my mind? And lots of things pop into my mind that I ignore because they're worthy of nothing more than being ignored. But this one felt different, and I thought, like, so where did that come from? And what it pushed me to consider as much as anything was, well, why do we do this every year? Why do we have Pentecost every year? And is it like a birthday? And as I've said before, in a very real sense, Day of Pentecost could be considered the birthday of the church as we know it. It was when something dramatic happened that changed how God interacted with the world, starting with the infilling of the Holy Spirit and then Peter's sermon, and then it sort of we continue on in that tradition as much as anything. I thought, okay, well, we celebrate our birthdays every year. When we're in single digits, we make a big thing of it, and for a lot of our teens, we still do. We have all those sort of milestone birthdays. You know, you're 14, you can get a learner's license. You're 16, you can drive. You're 18, you can vote. You're 21, you're 21. You're 25, you're a quarter century. And then after that, they kind of drop off, really. And there's not a whole lot to note until you get to fives and zeros, and that's about it. So here it is. Is that why we do this? And there's nothing wrong with noting things every year. Just like anniversaries, we pay attention to them every year. They likewise become less critical at a part of your life, especially when your kids are there taking up all of your energy. But you still, we celebrate anniversaries, we celebrate things like that. So what do we do with this? Well, we can do the same thing that we do with it when, for example, I turned 34. 34 was the first complete non-birthday I had. All those other years, I could make something out of something. I could connect it. 34 is a non-year. I still can't come up with anything that 34 is anything except maybe twice 17. But I still had a birthday. We still noticed it. I mean, I probably even had a cake or at least something, a card or two. And so is that what we do with Pentecost? We just sort of mail it in. You know, Pentecost, the big thing happened a long time ago. Just like the big thing when we were born was a long time ago. Our wedding was a while ago. We notice it, but that's about it. Or is it more than that? Is it more than an anniversary? Well, yes, it is. It is an anniversary in the same way that every other anniversary is, or every other birthday, or every other Memorial Day that we have. It's a time for us to remember that something happened. We remember that somebody was born. We remember sometimes, for those of us who remember these sorts of things, we remember the day someone died or remember significant things. On June 6th, for example, we took a moment at General Assembly to remember that 75 years ago was the invasion of Europe by the Allies that began the process of freeing that continent from the tyranny of Nazi Germany, and continued on into freeing all of us in a way that was very significant. We remembered that. Probably didn't remember it the year before because it was 74. Will we do it next year? I'm not sure. But we take a moment to remember things that happened because it gives us a sense of place. It gives us a sense of history. It helps us remember that we came from somewhere. These are all good things. But Pentecost is even more than that. It's not a reminder that the Holy Spirit came, although it is that. It's not only that. It's also a reminder that the Holy Spirit came and stayed. The Holy Spirit has always been part of our world. The Holy Spirit didn't suddenly pop into existence at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was there from the very beginning. Read Genesis. It was the Spirit of God that hovered over things and brought creation into being. We're a Trinitarian faith. The Holy Spirit is God in the same way that God is God and Jesus is God. And in this mystery, this mysterious three-person, one person, the Holy Spirit's always been here, but came in a new way at Pentecost, broke in a way that we hadn't seen before, and continues to do so. We have Pentecost Sunday every year, not just so we remember that, but we remember that the Holy Spirit who came and in such a dramatic way then, remains and continues to work even now. We don't see flames of fire on people's heads, at least I never have. We don't see people speaking in languages that they don't understand, or speaking in ways that other people who don't speak their language understand what they're saying. I've never seen that. But have I seen the Holy Spirit at work? Yes, I have. On Pentecost, it gives us an opportunity to reflect at least momentarily on those times when we've seen the Holy Spirit at work in our lives or the lives of people we know. It's a reminder that the Holy Spirit came as a living, breathing presence of God that continues to this day. It's easy for us to put the Holy Spirit in the same category as Jesus. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and then he left. And we look at that and we don't dismiss any part of that. We don't say, well, maybe it didn't really happen. There's nothing of that. But we just say that happened then and we're now. And if we're not careful, we'll read Acts chapter 2 and we'll think, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came then, but this is now. One of the things that we see over and over again through Scripture is that the Holy Spirit came and stayed. That's what Jesus is talking about in John 14. He says, when I leave, I'm not leaving you alone. Because Jesus did leave. His physical presence was removed from the disciples. We have never encountered that physical, corporeal body, person, presence of Jesus the same way they did. But Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not abandoning you. I'm leaving, and the Holy Spirit is going to come. A counselor who will lead you into all things. A counselor who will remind you of what I said. And reminds us of what Jesus said through the Gospels that were recorded under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but God isn't leaving. My physical presence is leaving, but my spiritual presence is going to be here, and even more so. Part of the incarnation was a limitation on Jesus and his ability to be in many places at once. That limitation was removed with the ascension, and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure, when we get to that part of the church here. But when the Holy Spirit came to stay. And we sometimes think that, well, all those things happened back then, and we believe them, and we have no dispute that they were there, but we just think, well, that was then. And that kind of thing doesn't really happen anymore. The Holy Spirit worked, of course, but does the Holy Spirit still work that way? Well, yes. To just give you the short answer, the answer is yes. People say, well, I've never seen flames of fire on people's heads. And I say, well, I never have either. But if you would ask people 100 years ago, when do you think women will be ordained as ministers? That their ability to minister equally to men will be recognized? And if they understood the question at all, because it would be so far out of their understanding, I suspect they'd say never. Because why would they? That's foolish. Over a period of time, that became less foolish and became what we now have as the norm. I wasn't here last Sunday, but Bev was an ordained woman minister. How much less dramatic is that than flames of fire? Well, it's less visually dramatic. But to have that level of change in how we think, that's as much a work of the Spirit as gifts of speaking in one language and being heard in another. The Holy Spirit continues to work today. And we see it if we're willing to look for it. If our only definition of the work of the Holy Spirit is something dramatic and miraculous, we may or may not see it. Very few of us see the miraculous, those things that are literally unexplainable outside of a, a work of God. But if we look at things from a slightly broader perspective, or if we look at things to see where are these movements that really couldn't have been predicted, where are these changes in the way we think? 600 years ago, was there room in non-Orthodox Christendom for Protestantism? There are little hints of it. Let's go back 800 years ago. The priesthood of all believers, the opportunity for someone who's not a celibate priest to preach, literally unthinkable. And yet that changed. Was it because we evolved into a higher consciousness? No, it was not. It was that the Holy Spirit moved among God's people to say, there's other ways to do things. We have seen these in history. We see them today. Because at the same time as we look at those broad movements and we think, okay, I'll give you those, how many of you know someone who, after an encounter with God, have moved into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are different people than they were before, different and better in ways that you never would have predicted? How much less miraculous is that than flames of fire? How much less miraculous is it that I'm here at all, let alone that I'm here doing what I'm doing? For those of you who have known me for the last 12 or 15 or maybe even 20 years, you think, well, that's no big deal. Talk to somebody with a larger time frame. Find someone who knew me at 15 or 18 or 21, some of those anchor birthdays, and they will be surprised, possibly even shocked, not out of the question that they'll describe it as miraculous. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and stayed. We have Pentecost Sunday. The day of Pentecost is celebrated every year in the church calendar, not simply as a memorial, not simply as a reminder of what happened, not only as an anniversary, but as a reminder that what happened then happens now. The Holy Spirit, alive in miraculous and dramatic ways then, is alive and active now. We do this every year because if we forget it, which we're unlikely to do perhaps, but this ensures that we won't. If we forget that the Holy Spirit continues to work in miraculous and divine ways, it'll be all too easy for us to think that it's just us. That our own wisdom and cleverness, which are both significant, are all that we have to depend on. And they're significant, but they're not enough. We need more to do what God has called us to do. And the more comes in the person of the Holy Spirit, who came at Pentecost in a way that had never been seen before and continues to have the same kind of ministry, the same movement in God's people that we saw then. Every year is not too frequent a reminder that the Holy Spirit is with us, equipping us to do those things that are beyond our ability, helping us to become the people we were created to be, helping us to do those things that only we can do to make the difference that we've been called to make on this earth. Amen.